I was a Pentecostal minister, and not only had I been baptized, but I had baptized other people. But when I came into the knowledge of this truth that I know now and that I'm sharing with people around the world, you know what I said? I want to be baptized into this truth. Oh, yes, I said, I know. And I believe, friends, that if I had died back then, that God would have honored me. But once I came to the knowledge of the truth, and I understood that I had not embraced it simply because I didn't know any better. I didn't know any different. But when I came to the knowledge of the truth, I said, I want to be baptized into the truth. I recognized that I wasn't, and the person that baptized me didn't even believe it. So I wanted to be baptized again, and I was. The next question is, how should we be baptized? When a person is ready for baptism, how should they be baptized? Well, today there's many different ways that churches carry out this very, very important spiritual ordinance. Some teach sprinkling. Some teach pouring or infusion. Some teach you got to be immersed three times, triple immersion. Some teach you've got to be immersed face forward. I even heard of a church. They had a big youth rally or something, and they had a whole group of people, young people, to be baptized, and the group was just too big for the minister to handle. They gathered them out in the parking lot, and they brought in a fire truck. I'm not making this up. And they turned on the fire hose, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Fire hose baptism. You see, everybody can't be right. The Bible tells us one Lord, one faith. How many baptisms? One baptism. So what does the Bible have to say about how we are baptized? The Greek word for baptism is baptizo, which simply means to dip under water or to cover over with water. That's simply what the word means. It doesn't have, in the original language, any kind of special spiritual connotations to it. It just means to dip under water or to cover over with water. And if you do that to a thing, you have baptized it. So, if we want to know, when we use the word baptize, we actually are associating and attaching some very spiritual meanings to it, because it means more to us than just that. So if we want to know the proper way to be baptized, I think the best example would be to look at Jesus. He's our example in everything, isn't he? Well, in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water." So how could he come up out of the water unless he had first been down in the water? And since baptism is declared to be a burial, it's clear why he went down there in the water where John could baptize him. John 3:23 says about John and his baptism, "And John was also baptizing in Anon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized." So the reason for John using that particular location was because there was much water there. So if the people weren't getting in the water, then he would not have needed to use that location. They could have gone to a well or to a spring, or to any place where they could have carted a jug of water if they were using some other means. Now, in Acts chapter 8, we find the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. God told Philip to go and attach himself to the eunuch's chariot, and he did. And then he climbed up in the chariot, and he began to teach the eunuch from the word of God, because the man was already reading the prophecy, Isaiah 53, and he wanted to know more about it. And here's the rest of the story. Acts 8:36 says, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Now, anyone that wants to know the method of baptism that's taught in the Bible, you only need to consider these verses of Scripture. Whatever form of baptism was administered, they had to get down into the water in order to do it. And we know that baptism is being buried, so they got down into the water to be buried under the water. Romans 6:4 says, "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Now, after one has become dead to sin, now we are ready for the burial service. We are ready to be buried with him in baptism. And we're ready to come up and walk in the newness of life. Now, the only way to bury something or someone is to cover it up. Now, I want to demonstrate baptism, and I need a volunteer to come up here and assist me. Anyone? Come on up here then, brother in the green shirt, Ralph. Now, one caveat while you're on your way, I must let you know, is that you cannot mind getting wet. Is that okay?
Can I get my bathing suit?
No bathing suit, but we do have some towels that we can work on you if it's necessary. Is it okay if you get, I just want you to know beforehand. It's okay, right? Are you going to be worried about a little water, Ralph? Okay, well then get on over here and let's do this. All right, now, Ralph and I am going to demonstrate the Bible way to baptize. Ralph, just keep looking forward. Now, Ralph, you have come for baptism. And so now I'm going to baptize. Now, you folks will have to tell me when Ralph has been properly baptized. Ralph, look forward. Don't look at me. I'm going to make the sign of the cross with this water that's blessed on Ralph's head. Has Ralph been baptized? He hasn't.
I feel dirty.
Ralph, just be quiet and look forward. All right. Now, Ralph, they said that didn't work, so now I'm going to sprinkle Ralph. I'm sprinkling you, Ralph, in baptism. Has Ralph been baptized?
No.
He has not. Ralph, I need to sprinkle more. just. Okay, Ralph, let's sprinkle you real good. Has Ralph been baptized yet?
No.
Well, what if I took the bowl... Look forward, Ralph, that way. What if I took the bowl and poured the whole bowl over Ralph's head? Like this. No, I'm not going to do that, Ralph. But if I did, would Ralph have been baptized? No. See, none of those methods, which people use, by the way, would have been Bible baptism. But let's say that Ralph and I walked over here to the baptistry, and we got into the water together. And then I took Ralph and said to him, I'm going to baptize him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And took Ralph and put him under the water and then brought him up again. Would Ralph have been baptized then? All right. Thank you so much, Ralph. Appreciate it. Now we know from the Word the correct form of baptism. Immersion was the mode of baptism, by the way, that was practiced by the early church for centuries. There is no evidence in the Bible at all of any other form of baptism. None. And we can see from the archaeological evidence that, now this is an old dig of an old ancient church site, and guess what they found there? An old baptistry, which indicates that when they were baptizing, they went down in there and got in the water and baptized. There's another one, kind of ornate. But what did they discover at these old ancient church sites? They discover baptistries. And James Cardinal Gibbons, a Roman Catholic theologian, wrote this, says, for several centuries after the establishment of Christianity, baptism was usually conferred by immersion in all of the churches. But since the 12th century, the practice of infusion, that is pouring, has prevailed in the Catholic Church, as this manner is attended with less inconvenience than baptism by immersion. The church exercises her discretion in adopting the most convenient mode according to the circumstances of time and place. And I wrote this in Faith of Our Fathers, page 277. Now, when you look at some of these old cathedrals, this one is a picture of the Cathedral of Pisa. And at the Cathedral of Pisa, there is the famous Leaning Tower of Pisa. And there's a round building there that contains a baptistry, an old baptistry. It's 20 feet wide, or 23 across, and 23 to 20 feet across, and 4 feet deep. And they used to use that to baptize people by immersion. Over 1,300 years after Christ's ascension back into heaven, everybody was being baptized by immersion. Now, all of that has changed, and many, many, many churches today find it too inconvenient to get into the water and baptize that way. Now, how important is baptism? How important is it? Mark 16, 16, it says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. I think, based on this text of Scripture, that it is very important, don't you? In this text, we see that believing and being baptized is part and parcel of the process of salvation. So how can now a new Christian prepare for baptism? Matthew 28, verse 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. So teaching, we see from the Bible, precedes baptism. Matthew 28, verse 20, teaching them what? To observe all the things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So the Bible tells us to go and teach and then baptize. Now, here are some of the steps to baptism. First step to baptism is that an individual who is preparing for baptism must be willing to follow the teachings of the Bible and make a commitment of their life to Jesus Christ. That's the very first step. Secondly, they must have a basic understanding of the teachings of Christ and be willing to obey them. Just like the Ethiopian, he says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Believe means to adhere to trust in, and to rely on. It means to put your complete confidence and faith in Jesus. Are we willing to obey him? Because I believe, and my belief is what directs my actions. This third step is to repent. Repent. Turn and go the other way. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Now, repentance simply means to be deeply sorry for our sins and to turn from them. And this can only be done by a heart that has gone to the cross, a heart touched by that sacrifice that's made there on Calvary. Now, let's summarize these steps preparing for baptism. The person should believe with all his heart in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And a person, before they're being baptized, should have a fundamental understanding of the teachings of Jesus and make a commitment to obey and follow them. And then he or she should confess their sins and repent, be willing to turn away from those. Now, if you've ever wished that you could change your life for the better, start life brand new by following these simple steps and preparing your life for baptism, yourself for baptism, you can become a brand new person from the inside out, brand new, through God's power. We can be changed. We can be born again, and we can be converted into his likeness and image. Tonight, we have, and I'm fast forwarding. I'm going to cut some of this short. I want you to understand that God chooses to save us. We must choose to embrace his salvation. And tonight, as we understand that baptism is the most beautiful part of a Christian's life, we want to embrace that and to be a part of that in our own lives. It's like the wedding ceremony you see for an engaged couple. This is their opportunity to publicly witness to the whole world that they have been joined together for as long as they shall live. Jesus wants to be one with us through baptism. And tonight, we have a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to witness this deeply spiritual transaction as we witness lives being committed and dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask Pastor Jeff to come up, and he's going to take it from here.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. Good evening, and I want to introduce to you my friends, Jennifer and Brandon Murray. And we have had the privilege of studying with Jennifer and Brandon for past couple of months now. I know that Jennifer just almost randomly, it seemed, walked to the church and said, "I want to get baptized. Tell me how. How do I go through the steps to get baptized?" And our Bible worker, Andrea, was here at the time, and yeah, you know, we started talking, absolutely, began to sit down with Jennifer and Brandon, and right away, as I talked to Andrea, and then when Andrea left, I started studying with them, I realized that here are two people who, number one, love Jesus. Just here back in this room as we were praying, they prayed, "God, I love you so much," and you can tell that both Brandon and Jennifer love Jesus. And in addition, you can tell that Brandon and Jennifer are students of the Word of God. As they look at Scripture, they say, "You know what? I don't want to take what you're saying, Jeff, for granted. I don't want to just take it. Pastor Jones, he says it, but I want to check it out for myself." And I so appreciate that about both of them, is really their process into this truth and into studying the Word of God and coming to this point has been a long journey. And in just a moment, as we come here into the tank, you'll see a video that was just made a few nights ago of them sharing their testimony with you and sharing a little bit more about their background. It's been a journey. It's been a process of a number of years. But both of them have said, "You know, I want to make that decision." And, you know, I think what's beautiful, Pastor Jones, is both ways of getting baptized, both getting baptized for the first time and re-baptism, are being represented here. Because Brandon, he's been baptized before. How old were you? 19 when he made the decision, you know, and it was a Saul decision. He said, I want to give my life to Christ. I wanted him to be on the throne of my heart. He made that decision. But then as he began to study and learn new things, as he learned about the Sabbath, learned about some of these truths in God, where he said, you know what, I want to dive full in. I want to jump in. And so I honored to have you guys here and for all of us to be a part of this, to witness this decision. And I'm so glad to have Jennifer and Brennan join our church. Wonderful, wonderful people. And they're not just joining the Fallbrook Church, but joining the worldwide Seventh Adventist Church. And so you're being baptized into a body of Christ. And we're excited about your decision. And as we go and prepare and step here into the tank, we invite you to watch the screens as they share a little more of their testimony.